Well, it's no secret that if we look outside in our world, we see that injustice is becoming more and more prevalent, right? It's very easy to see. You switch on the news, you switch on your radio, and we can see that injustice is running rampant. We think of the fires that are going on. Where's the justice? People are losing their homes. The animals are losing their homes. Where's the justice, we ask? We look to the world and we see men and women continually hurting each other. And we ask the question, where's the justice? God, do you care about justice? It doesn't seem like it, because there doesn't seem like a lot is happening to fix all the wrongs that are going on. It doesn't look like it. At the same time, unfortunately for a lot of us, we don't even need to turn on the TV. We don't even need to turn on the radio or read the news to feel injustice. For a lot of us, we face injustice every day of our lives, sometimes even in our own homes. And my family is a story of injustice that has hurt and crippled my relatives, my people, my family. When my mom was a teenager, she lived in a home, a broken home, a divorce and remarried and lots of kids and stepbrothers, stepsisters. And my mom, when she was a teenager, was sexually abused by her stepbrother. Physically abused. Verbally abused. And there was no one there to help her out. There was no one there she could turn to for help. Oh, she tried. Yeah, she went to my grandfather. But he was an alcoholic. And when she did go to him, he said, I don't care. You just need to suck it up. Just keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody. That was his advice. And so for her entire teenage years, she suffered with no hope and feeling like nobody cared about her. God, where's the justice? As she grew older, she looked to men for hope. She went after man after man after man. And actually, me and my three older sisters, none of us share the same father. She looked to them for hope, and they promised, yeah, I'll take care of you. I won't hurt you. And then as kids came along, in her time of need, they abandoned her. Single mother, four kids. Where's the justice? My mom is a strong, strong woman. I have a lot of respect for her. I love her dearly. As she was raising up, you know, for a long time, I didn't know about the abuse. I didn't know. This was normal for my family. It was normal. She got a job at McDonald's so that she could take care of us, so she could raise us. But after a while, when I got to year 8, she couldn't take it anymore. That's the problem about abuse. That's a problem about injustice. It doesn't just affect you once and only once. It's long and it's deep and it hurts and it goes over time and it affects a lot more people around you for a lot longer than we think. And for her, when I was in year 8, she ran out of hope. She lost hope. And so she tried to commit suicide. It didn't work. I praise the Lord, it didn't work. And the hospital was able to save her. But where's the justice? Where was help? God, where were you in her time of need? Oh, yes, the government came in, right? Our legal system did kick in. They saw, oh, this is not good. There's a troubled woman, right? And she cannot no longer take care of her kids. So our legal system said, okay, you know what? Mom is going to go to the hospital to take care. That's good. That's very good. But me and my sisters, we were separated to different families. Nobody wanted to take all of us at once. My two older sisters ran away. Forget this, they said. The next sister, she was put into a family who said they were Christian, a family who said they would care. But for her, all they did was compare her to their other children, to their perfect children. And so my sisters tried to seek their approval, tried to be better, tried to hit their standards, but they constantly compared her, constantly said it wasn't good enough. It's no longer good enough. Be better, be better. I just talked to her a couple weeks ago, and you know what she said? She said, Joe, because of that, I have a hard time opening my heart to anybody because I fear that if I do that, if I could open my heart to somebody, all they will do is hurt me. All they will do is abuse me. God, where's the justice? And you know, my sister said, no, not God. I've been to God. That was God to me, that family of Christians. No, thank you. And so she abandoned hope. She abandoned God. This is just one story. That is just one story. That's just my family's story of injustice. Unfortunately, that story is becoming more and more prevalent in our world, more and more common. Just a quick research online. You don't even have to look far. You will see that 1 in 3 women here in Australia, 1 in 3 women suffer abuse physically or sexually or emotionally. 1 in 3 women here in Australia. It's not just women. Men, 1 in 5 men actually also suffer some sort of physical or verbal abuse. Where do we go to find justice? Our kids, our students in school, it says that over 50% of our students here in Australia suffer some sort of bullying, whether physical, whether verbal, whether it's cyberbullying. They are suffering injustice, and people are wondering, where is the justice? God, don't you care? The world is saying no. The world says, nah, clearly not. It looks around and it sees all the pain, it sees all the suffering, and the world says no. Clearly, surely God doesn't care. But what about Christians? What about us? What do we think? Do we believe that God is just? Do we believe that he's going to bring justice? Well, as we look in our passage today, we are going to see that even in the church, even among believers, we still are prone to walk away from God as well. We are prone to not believe God is just. Look with me at verse 1. It'll be right up here on the screen or in your papers. And Jesus told them, Jesus is talking to his disciples now. He's talking about the coming justice that God is going to bring one day. And he's telling them, he's telling his believers a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Why is Jesus telling that to believers? Why is this written here for us today? Well, logically, it's because we as believers are prone to say, to run away from God, to not continue to pray for him to justice. We're prone to do that. We're prone to go elsewhere. Jesus is saying, don't do that. And the good news today with this question, if you want to put it back to the question, Jesus, don't you care about justice? This passage, Jesus is going to set the record straight more than that. He is going to say, he's going to give us a reason why, even in the face of injustice, we ought always to pray. And even in the face of injustice, we ought always to not lose heart, to have a hope. That's the good news today. Now, if you are here and you're not a Christian, I will say, if you're not sure if you believe in Jesus, you're not sure you buy into this, I will say this message is primarily for Christians. This is Jesus talking to his believers, to people who already say, I do believe. But don't turn off, because if you're here and you're not sure if you believe in Jesus, well, listen, because here's an opportunity for you to see why Christians believe in God, even when there's so much injustice, why we don't lose hope. Even when there's injustice. And maybe you will look at your own life and you will say, I want that. I want to be in there. And you will have a chance to believe. If you are a Christian, this is for you. So if we put our main point up there, what is Jesus saying? In the face of injustice, Jesus is saying to pray and do not lose heart. Why? All right, why? Well, Jesus starts with a story. Let's look at verse 2. Jesus said, in a certain city, he's making this up, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. So Jesus starts us off with a story. He says, oh, look, two characters. On one hand, there's a judge. What is a judge? Well, a judge is somebody who holds the law. When things are going wrong, a judge makes things right again, right? Right? So if, for example, you come up to the judge and the judge says, or you say, listen, somebody stole my money, well, what should a judge do? Well, first thing he's going to do is he's going to look at the law and say, yeah, stealing is wrong. And he's going to make it right. Give him back his money and maybe there are further punishments. Right? Or if it's not clearly written in the law, what a judge will do when you come to him, hopefully he will use his wisdom and he will, out of the love for the parties, he will seek to do a just sentence. He will seek to bring everything back as it should be. Where there was wrong, he chooses to make it right. That is what a judge does. That is what a judge should be. Unfortunately, said Jesus, not this judge. Not this judge. No, no, no. Look at it again. This judge neither feared God nor respected man. What does that mean, neither feared God? Well, it's not like, oh, he wasn't a Christian or whatever. What this means is, in a society where their law was based on the word of God, where God's word was the law, it means that this judge didn't care about the law. He didn't care about the law, which means if you go up and say, look, the law says, what would he say? I don't care. You couldn't appeal to him that way. Oh, but worse, he doesn't care about people. So if you go up there to the judge and you said, oh, look, this is so bad. You know, listen, my money was stolen. I'm a single mother and I have so many kids. If I don't get that money back, they're not going to make it. Like, I won't be able to pay rent. You know what the judge will say? I don't care about your sob story. Go away. Leave me alone. Because I don't care about people. I do not care. Injustice. What a picture of injustice. And on the other side of Jesus' story, he talks about this widow, almost a perfect picture of helplessness. Her husband has died. She's a widow. The very fact that she's alone going to this judge, the very fact that she's by herself, shows that there's nobody who cares about her. Nobody cares about her. She's all alone. And worse, she has some sort of enemy plaguing her. And she's trying to seek justice. So what does she do? Well, of course, she goes to the judge. So unfortunately for her, as she goes to the courts, she gets, oh no, that guy? What does she do? Does she turn away? No. That's her source of justice. So she goes up to the judge and says, please, sir, give me justice against my enemy. Please. And you know what that judge says? Ah, you guessed it. No. So she comes back again. Please, sir, give me justice. And she's trying everything. Look at my kids. Look what's going on. No, says the judge. I don't care. No, says it. She comes again. You can almost picture this. It's almost comical if it wasn't so sad of a story. You know, here's the judge. He's working in his office, clickety-clackety. She comes knocking on the door. Please, sir, give me justice. He's like, oh my goodness, go away. You know, he gets out of his building. He gets into his car, right? He's going to go home after a long day's work. And guess who's there at the door? There's the widow. Please, sir, give me justice. And he says, no. He goes home. Ah, finally home. And he sits down and he's eating his steak. And there at the window outside, what's that? It's the widow. Please, sir, give me justice. closes the blinds. He's brushing his teeth. She's out there. What? Get out of my house. Please, sir, give me justice. Over and over and over again, she comes day and night. Give me justice. And look what it says. Verse 4, for a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, by her continual coming, I will give her justice. Why? Because he cares about the law? No. Because he cares about her? No. So that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Man, she was so intense. She was so full on that this judge thought she was going to beat him up. He said, fine, fine. I will give you justice. And that's the story that Jesus says today. What do you guys think? Huh? What does that mean? Joe, are you saying that we need to, like, badger God over and over? If we just come to God, we can eventually wear him out? That if we just relentlessly say, God, give us justice, that's the only way? Is that what this is saying? No. No, look what Jesus says. No, look what Jesus says. This isn't a parable to show the similarities of God and this judge. It is to show the contrast. We're going to play a bit of a game here. Can you spot the difference? That's what this parable is. Can you spot the difference? Look what Jesus says in verse 6. And Jesus said, the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge is saying. I will give you justice for my own self-will. That is what the judge is saying. And God said, Jesus says, and will not God, verse 7, give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? He's saying, do you see, Christians? That widow was able to squeeze justice from a stone of a man. Do you not truly believe that God will give you justice? And Jesus does two things here. First thing, he answers our question. Does God care about justice? Yes, there it is. Do you really believe he wouldn't? And the second thing he says is he gives us a reason why we should pray. Why should we pray in the face of injustice? Jesus says, look at the story. God will give you justice. If you put up those two slides, right? We pray. Back one. In the face of injustice, Jesus says, pray because God will give you justice. But in answering that question, you notice he didn't actually answer the question. He kind of gave a question, right? And it's that one that stings so deep. Because he's like, yes, God will give justice, but here's the sting. Did you honestly think God was like that monster of a man? Because every time you say God won't give justice, you're comparing him to that judge. You're saying, that's God. He's unjust. He won't give me justice. He's a monster. Don't you believe that God will give you justice? Well, unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't believe. How do I know this? Well, we look at ourselves. Anytime something happens, anytime something bad, some sort of injustice happens to us, what do? Do we go to God first? No, we go to our own wisdom. We'll go to our own legal system. We would go to our families. We would go to our friends. Goodness, we will go search the internet for some sort of hope. And very rarely, in our injustices, do we turn to God and say, please, please give me justice. Because we don't believe. Now, I want to be very clear. Jesus isn't saying that if you're in an abusive situation, if there is some sort of injustice, he is not saying don't seek help. Not at all. He's not saying that. He's not saying yes. He's not saying don't go and try to find help. No, he's saying don't put your faith in that alone. Don't discredit God. Why should you pray to God? Because he not man, he will give you justice. Him. So before you go there, pray to God. While you're seeking justice, however it looks, pray to God. Always, after you sought justice, pray to God. Pray to God. Why? Because he will guarantee give you justice. Why do I not put my full faith in the legal system? Because there's no guarantee that it's going to work for me. There's no guarantee I will get the justice I deserve. Let me tell you why. Because it happens. Come back to my sister. Oh, the legal system was doing what it's supposed to do. There's still good. It looked at my family, remember? It saw my mother in her pain and said, that's not right. I'm going to fix it. So my mom goes to the hospital to get care. Good. But my sister, it said, Dad, it's not good to you to be alone. I'm going to put you in this home that should love you. Oh, that was good. However, that home caused more damage to my sister. Much more damage. No. I don't put my faith in things of men. Don't put your faith in things of men, Christian, says Jesus, because there's no guarantee that even if justice is there, that something bad isn't going to happen more. He says, no, put your faith in Jesus, who guaranteed will give you justice. That is a bold claim. And I know what you're thinking. How can you say that, Joe? Well, first off, it's not me saying it. Look at verse 7. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Book of verse 8, I tell you, he will give justice. Why do I believe it? Because Jesus said so. Really? You're just going to believe it because Jesus said so? Yes? Isn't that what Christianity is about? Remember, this is to believers. Isn't that what Christianity is about? I follow Christ. It means when he says something, I listen. I actually do this funny thing. I believe him because he said it. Look at the disciples. He doesn't give any other. Look at this whole passage. There's no other reason other than trust him. But, fair enough. If you want more, how can I be so certain that God will give me justice? I look at Jesus on the cross, something that the disciples never had, at least not for the first part. We can look at the cross. Well, what do you mean? Well, let's go back to our story. Remember, it's the spot the difference. It's the contrast. We look at the judge, right? We look at the judge, the man who's going to give justice. He didn't care about the law. He didn't care about people. He was only selfish, only cared about himself. I then look at my judge. I look at Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He came down to fight for my justice. Does Jesus care about the law? Yes, he does. And he's going to deal not just with our problems here and now, and we're going to get to that in a second, but he is going to come down and he's going to fight to stop the root of the problem, the source of injustice. See, at the beginning of time, we used to live under God's just reign. And then we said, nah, we're going to come over here and we're going to do our own thing. We're going to seek our own justice, and we abandoned God. We turned away from him, and trying to do good, all we could do was bad. All we could do was hurt. All we could produce was more injustice. That's all we could do. And Jesus looked at that and said, that's not right. But instead of coming and just destroying us and starting over, which would have been just, remember the second part. he cared about people because of his love for us. He said, I will suffer the most injustice thing. And we crucified him on the cross. See, at the cross, we see God's full justice to pay for the penalty of sin. Because the Bible said if we abandon God, if we turn away from God, if we disobey, we must die. But because of his love, he says, I don't want you to die. I want you to come back. And so the cross is that perfect picture where justice and his love come fully together. The cross. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't die on the cross only so that our lives just look a little bit better today. He didn't die on the cross because you're talking about justice a lot, Joe. You're talking a lot about God dying, but I'm looking around and I'm still seeing injustice. I know. Jesus didn't die on the cross simply so that we can have our problem solved now. No, he did something bigger. He did something better. And this is our second point. Jesus died on the cross so that one day we who believe in him will never have to face injustice ever again. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't die simply so that we can have a better life right now, so that all our problems get solved right now. No, he died so that soon, one day soon, everyone who believes in him will never have to face injustice ever again. No more injustice. How do I know that? Look at verse 7. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? No. Will he give it to them right now? No. It's not right now, but it's soon. How's that helpful? One day, that's pipe dream. One day, that's not helpful to me. How is that helpful to me? I will tell you why this is helpful. You go back to the next slide. I will tell you why this is helpful. Because come back to my sister. Do you remember my sister? She does not love God. She does not love God. She doesn't understand his justice. The very fact that God is waiting to come means that I can pray that she sees his justice, that she will love him. That one day, when God comes back, she will not be the object of his wrath. She will experience the way things should have been all along. She will see his love. And one day, when Jesus comes and shelters her, he will wipe every tear of injustice away. It's what it says in Revelation. He will wipe the tears of his saints away. She will never have to fear injustice, never have to fear hurt and pain again. That is why it's so good. And that is why we always pray. I know you guys have people who are hurting. I know you guys know people who do not love God. Pray. That's why he's waiting. But it hurts. I'm in pain. I'm hurting now, Joe. How does this help me? Well, soon he's coming. Soon we take hope in the fact that it's not going to be a long time. Look, will he delay long over them? No. Verse 8, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Soon, hold on, says Jesus. It's coming soon. How can you say soon, Joe? He was alive 2,000 years ago. How can you say soon? Well, New Year's Eve, I was talking to some people. Let me explain this. New Year's Eve, I was talking to some people. And you know what we said? Where did 2019 go? It just blew right by. Did it? Did it go quicker than any other year? No. It was the same. It felt quick. People tell me all the time. I have 3 kids under 5. Joe, Victoria, please, you got to enjoy the time now with your kids. Why? Oh, because soon they're going to grow up. Soon that moment's going to be gone. Soon. Really? Do they age quicker than every other kid in the world? No. Because on this side, looking back, it seems so fast. On this side of eternity, when Jesus comes and gives justice, we're going to look back and think, "Woo, that was quick. Did that happen? Do you guys feel pain? Do you guys remember?" No. No, it's so much better here. Soon. We put our hope, next slide, we put our hope in Jesus. We do not lose heart because soon we will never have to fear injustice again. What an amazing promise. But Jesus doesn't stop there. I wish he did, but he doesn't stop there. He ends this parable with a excruciatingly painful challenge. Look at verse 8. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily, yes. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When Jesus, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, when Jesus comes back, will he find us faithful? Will he find us praying for people? Will he find us bringing people into his new kingdom? Will he find us praying? Will he find us hoping for him? Or will he find North Coast Church not praying, sleeping in the morning, doing whatever we want, turning a blind eye to justice, not caring, not coming to our revived prayers in the morning? Every term we have revived prayers for this, so that we could see people saved from injustice. Jesus is saying, if you don't believe me, how could you possibly ever believe that the person you care about will believe themselves? If you are not praying and you are not hoping, what hope do you have that they will be saved? No, when Jesus comes back, will he find us faithful as a church? Let's bring it in a little bit closer to home. He says this to me, Joe, when I come back, will I find you faithful? Put your name here. When I come back, will I find faithful?